Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this day. We've got a great week lined up. First off, in this first segment, we're going to review a movie called Irreplaceable. It just came out from Focus on the Family. It was a documentary. We're going to talk about that with Ed Zito from LCMS Life Ministries in just a moment. And in the second half, we're going to check in with Concordia Life Care Communities as a Concordia Life Care Community in Oklahoma City as part of our discussion all week long about issues in aging, topics in aging. So I hope you can join us for that part of the conversation as well. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section there. You'll find the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Click on that, and you'll find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin right there. Well, joining us by phone today, our guest is Ed Zito. He is a certified lay minister and also coordinator of LCMS Life Ministries. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Great. Welcome back to Faith and Family. Good to have you back on the air.
Thanks to be here, sir.
Well, you and I both had the opportunity to review or to see the movie Irreplaceable. You got a couple of opportunities, actually, to get to see Irreplaceable. I was trying to get out to a preview of it, but it was kind of a special engagement sort of thing. I guess it was a nationwide one-night thing, but they ended up providing another opportunity for folks to go and see it. How did you find out about this movie?
Actually, I received an invitation to see a preview of it at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. So that was the first opportunity that I had to see the movie.
And it's a film, a documentary produced by Focus on the Family. And the film, well, is it Tim Cicerich, I believe? I'm not sure if I pronounced it correctly. He's a executive director of Focus on the Family in New Zealand. He explores the answers to two questions. What is family and does family still matter in today's society? And he takes a global look at it in this documentary. So he really goes on this quest, this journey around the world, talking with experts and also everyday people, kind of like we do here, about the topics of family. And he works through this, I guess, this progression of topics in the documentary. And he starts with the big taboo subject, doesn't he?
Yeah, he starts with sex.
In looking at the subject, he looks at it, you know, from in a couple of different cultures. But what would you say is the perspective that he shared in the film? I don't think anything that he shared was anything that is inappropriate to talk about.
No. Basically, he shared what our society is looking at, how it looks at sex today. He does talk to several people who've studied the issue about the hooking up society that we have. And, you know, the experts basically say the hooking up, you know, doesn't necessarily mean sexual intercourse. It could just mean kissing. But the whole idea is that it's something physical without emotions and without commitment. So basically, all the folks who are involved in the hooking up thought is they just want to satisfy some physical desire or yearning without anything else, no commitment, no emotional connection. And that has led to some problems in our society. Some of the other experts talked about how today's youth, even though they're not happy with this whole hooking up culture, they still get involved in it because they don't want to be seen as an outcast. Another person that Tim Cicerich talked to in the movie talked about how shocked she was to find out that it's sometimes women who are pressuring other women to act in ways that degrade, you know, women as, in general. And that, you know, it's not just the men who are pressuring women to do this, but other women are pressuring women to do it. And so they look at all these different things and how we've devalued sex in our society.
And the interesting point that I think he made that I don't think really just naturally comes to mind is when you devalue sex, then you devalue marriage.
Yeah, that's how Tim went to the next topic. He basically, because sex basically is something that was given to us to be used in a specific place, which is within marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Tim had a great analogy he said sex is like fire. And when fire is in a fireplace, you know, it does its job and it's warm. But when it comes out of its place and goes all over, it creates damage and chaos wherever it goes. And so when we devalue sex, like you said, we devalue marriage as well. It was interesting listening to some of the man on the street interviews that Tim did about marriage. You know, basically every person they showed said, well, if you're not happy, you just get out and go find somebody else who'll make you happy.
And I was just discussing this topic after my wife and I saw this movie last week, and you know, I was thinking about all the questions and challenges that we face today in especially this topic of culture wars and redefining marriage, and thinking that it's a problem that's just recent. But especially when it comes to the definition of marriage, I think and I think the film brought this out, at least it brought it to mind. I don't know if it really brought it truly to light, but the topic of no-fault divorce. If we really did not want to redefine marriage, we would have fought against this increase in no-fault divorce that runs rampant across our country, and that is just that's legal in so many states.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, you know, everybody said, well, what about the woman who's being abused, physically abused by her husband, shouldn't she be able to get a divorce? And of course, if somebody's life is in danger, you know, we should be able to help the person. But the problem is they're showing that more and more divorces aren't because of that. Mm-hmm. Divorces are because people are just tired of being committed to one person and they want to go on to something else. And those are the cases that we have to be concerned with.
Absolutely. So we started devaluing marriage long before the whole issue of same-sex marriage came about.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, near the beginning of the movie, the host, Tim Cicerich, he interviewed a philosopher who talked a little bit about the difference between how Aristotle and Plato viewed the family. And Aristotle talked about where family is the place where, you know, reproduction occurs, where children are born. Plato believed that children were property of the state. Not only that, but the women were also property of the state, and that they were to be considered as shared communal property. So it's not anything new when we talk about the breakdown of marriage. It's been around for many, many years.
Well, sure, and devaluing marriage, even if we go back to the Garden of Eden and go to Adam and Eve, and when God said, you know, who told you that you were naked, and why did they, you know, Adam trying to trying to explain it all, he places the blame on Eve and God all in one breath.
Yeah.
Says,
yeah.
The woman you put here with me made me eat it. You know, all in one breath, he devalues marriage. He places the blame on, tries to blame Eve, tries to blame God, all in one breath, anybody but himself.
Correct.
So if you devalue sex, you devalue marriage. If you devalue marriage, then what was next in his progression?
Well, if you devalue marriage, since within a marriage, and you know, that's where you're to raise children. If you devalue the marriage, then you devalue the role of being a parent. And that's, you know, we see that today. You talk about, you know, what we did was the modern feminism basically set men against women. You know, we are created as male and female with different roles, different abilities, different capabilities, and we're meant to be complementary. But the modern feminists set the men against the women. And he went through a little progression there about how, you know, the sexual revolution and really broke apart everything in terms of what we would traditionally consider the role of men and women, the role of parents, the purpose of marriage. He continued. He went on and interviewed another author who talked about marriage, sex, and procreation as what was called the Iron Triangle. You know, you can't have sex without being married. Sex led to procreation, and And besides, who wouldn't want their child to be raised in a family and protected by the mother and father? But the sexual revolution in the 60s broke the triangle, because all of a sudden you could have sex without babies, and then if there are no babies to raise or protect, then who needs marriage?
So if you devalue sex, you devalue marriage. If you devalue marriage, you devalue parenthood. And obviously, if you devalue parenthood, then you devalue children and life. And I want to go to a quote from the movie, one of the speakers, one of the experts that they interviewed, John Stone Street. So I want to go to that quote. I've got some audio here. Let's take a listen.
In the United States, one of the huge devastating truths has been the commodification of children. If in China, babies are going to be valued by how productive they are, in America, they're going to be valued based on whether they fit our definition of healthy and whole and so on. So the earlier we get with prenatal diagnosis, being able to look in the womb and test for Down syndrome, and now we're even pushing towards things like autism. What happens to those children? We know that 90% of babies who are tested for Down syndrome are systematically aborted. So we're targeting children now. Well, if we can do it based on disease, we can also do it based on looks, based on gender selective abortion. In America is not based on productivity, it's just based on desire, family balancing. And so now you have children being treated as a product.
That was a quote from the movie. That was John Stone Street of the Colson Center and Summit Ministries. He's also an author and speaker. And that's just kind of a glimpse of what you hear, the conversations that you hear throughout this documentary as Tim interviews these various experts around the globe on this on these subjects related to what is family and does family still matter. Here we hear him talking about children and basically how we devalue children. They become a commodity, if you will.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think that's, a product of our current society with the whole divorce, where we've devalued marriage and parenthood. Because think about in a divorce, the children are treated as property. They're not treated as individuals. Who has custody? Who has possession of the child for this week? And then who has custody of the child next week? Things like that. And we don't actually respect the child as a person. And devaluing children in our society, of course, has led to abortion in our society. And that's kind of where John Stone Street was talking about how over 100 million girls have been aborted in China since the one-child policy was created. Things like that. And, almost 55 million children here in the U.S. have been aborted since 1973. So we devalue children to the point where if we think it's an inconvenience, let's just get rid of them.
So then we devalue children, we devalue life. And what about fathers?
Well, the way that Tim Cicerec brought in fathers was he talked to a woman who talked to post-abortive women who've done research into it. And what the research has told us is that women who do get abortions, many of them choose abortion because they feel that there's no support anywhere else, and certainly no support from the father of the child. And so what we've created with legalized abortion on demand, what we've created is a society where it's okay for a guy to leave his pregnant woman. He doesn't need to stay there. He doesn't need to mature. He doesn't need to provide. He doesn't need to protect. He doesn't need to do any of that stuff. All he has to do is say, well, get the abortion, I'll pay for it. And then he can walk away. And sometimes he doesn't even do that. Sometimes he just walks away. And so that's how we get from devaluing human life to understanding the importance of fathers in a family.
And so that really comes down to the heart of most of his research. When we start taking fathers out of the picture, then we see really the collapse of it all.
Yes, some of the statistics that they shared in the movie, regarding children from fatherless homes. For example, they say 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teens come from fatherless homes. 85% of teens with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. But one thing that he really pointed out, too, was 85% of the youth in our prisons come from fatherless homes. So, yeah, when the father's not there, when the person who's supposed to set the structure of the family is not there, the family runs amok.
How did we get here? How did we get to the point of so many fatherless homes? How did we get to the point of men not really taking their responsibility, placing all the responsibility in so much of our culture and society for children, that the responsibility of children being placed on women? How did we get to this point in our society? I don't know.
Personally, I think personally it's basically part of sinful human nature. Mm-hmm. You know, we take the path of least resistance. So if I don't have to stay and support the child and support the woman, my wife, why should I? And that's just who we are as sinful human beings. That's part of it. Part of it also is, you know, in this whole idea of abortion on demand, the whole idea of choice, you know, the fathers have no choice in the matter. And so, you know, even if I want to keep the child, if I get a woman pregnant, I want to keep the child, if she chooses to get an abortion, I cannot stop her from it. And so it's easier for me to say, well, it's your choice. You do whatever you want, and I have nothing to do with this, and I can walk away whenever I want. And I think those two things in combination really contributed to what we have today.
The topics that Tim approaches in the film, that he studies, you know, talking with experts and even just doing out, you know, interviews out on the streets with everyday people. They're not really, honestly, in today's culture and society, I guess it's not that surprising. But I think what's interesting is that by putting it all together, he presents a perspective that gives us a wide angle view of the topics so that we can see their connectedness. As we were talking about, if you devalue sex, you devalue marriage, you devalue parenthood. And then, and it just goes on from there, which it creates this. He paints this picture very clearly with this wide angle view, so we can see the connectedness between all these problems.
Absolutely, and I think that's part of our problem, that we focus so much on one issue. Even in the pro-life movement, you know, we got to stop abortion. We got to stop abortion, and we have groups that focus only on that, and certainly that is something that needs to be stopped. But we don't realize why we have the abortions in the first place, and we need to really look at the bigger picture. When I talk about being pro-life, I talk about the whole big picture. We talk about the wonderful gift of human sexuality. We talk about marriage and the purpose of marriage, and why God created this institution, so to speak, for us to be part of. You know, when you look at the big picture, you get to understand why we do have so many women choosing abortion, because they feel like they have been abandoned. They don't just feel like it. They have been abandoned by their friends and families. And most importantly, they've been abandoned by the father of the child.
Some might say with each, as you pointed out, with even with just the subject of abortion, looking at each one of these subjects, looking at human sexuality, looking at how marriage and our devaluing of marriage or parenthood and children, all these things, fatherless households, some might look at these and say, well, then the solution is a reform of the culture. We should reform each one of these things. We need to reform the culture. There's a culture war going on. We've got a fight, and we need to reform it. I don't think that's the answer that I walked away with. Maybe it's because I watched the movie with a Lutheran ethos, a Lutheran worldview. I didn't walk away with that as the answer.
No, I didn't either. And in fact, Tim Sisarich didn't either. And by the end of the movie, you know, he asked the question that he was asking at the very beginning, which was, what's wrong with the family? And his answer is, I'm what's wrong with the family. He basically says, you know, I'm not God. I can't fix the problems of society. He also realizes that he may not even be able to protect his own children from all these problems that are happening in society.
Right.
He recognizes that the problem begins with him, and it's him because he's not loving others the way God would want him to love them.
And a little bit of his background. Tim comes from a family of five children, and he and his wife now have five children. And he identifies the sin from his own from his parents, and his own sin, and an original sin, you know, that he's inherited from Adam, which in today it's unusual to hear someone admitting to original sin or identifying original sin. So he confesses this and points to that what's the problem? I am the problem. The sin is the problem. You can't reform sin. You can't reform the old Adam. While he doesn't necessarily use that language, I think that's what he's getting at.
Absolutely. And he recognizes the problem, and I think that's the problem we all have to recognize. You know, we are the problem with the family. We don't forgive when we get into arguments with each other. We hold on to grudges. We don't love our family members unconditionally, like God tells us to. And you're right, sin is really the problem. We are the problem.
He approached it like a real dad. He starts off with all these questions, and he wants to fix it, because that's quite often what many dads, what many fathers, what many husbands, many men, we approach things like, well, we just want to fix it. If it's broken, then we want to fix it. And that's how he approaches it. And then, as you said, he comes to the conclusion that he is the problem. His sin is the problem. And so you can't fix it. You can't reform it, per se. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't leave us. The conversation is intended to go on from there. This film is really just the beginning of a conversation.
Absolutely. He doesn't leave it there. His absolute final conclusion of the movie is that, you know, no one and no situation is beyond repair. And the repair doesn't come from us. The repair comes from God. And that's where his last question of the movie is. What's truly irreplaceable in the family? And the answer is God. God is truly irreplaceable. And that's where this movie was meant to then lead on to further dialogue, to further discussion about family, about generations, about why it's important to live with people who aren't perfect. Too often in our society, you know, we get into our head, well, you know, that's not the perfect wife. That's not the wife I had envisioned. And so I'm just going to get out of it. But there's a benefit to living with people who aren't perfect. There's a benefit to living with people who aren't exactly like myself. And that's where this movie was intended to take the viewer.
What is that benefit to a marriage with a marriage where you're not identical, where husband and wife are not identical, but rather different?
Well, part of it is we are complementary. We have different strengths, you know, that we can help each other with. But the other issue is when you do get into arguments, you know, part of it is living through the struggle, working through the struggle, the difficulties in life. It's by attacking the difficulties rather than running away from the difficulties that we grow as individuals and we grow in our faith.
Complementary. Isn't that how God designed? Isn't that how he designed husband and wife?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Because Adam couldn't find another creature that was like him, so God created Eve to be a helpmate to Adam.
Well, we've been discussing the recent film, the documentary from Focus on the Family called Irreplaceable. We've been talking with Ed Zito, certified lay minister and coordinator of LCMS Life Ministries. Ed, thanks so much for taking time to see this film and to discuss it with us today. We appreciate your time, and always good to check in with you.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show again.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with our friends from Concordia Life Care Community in Oklahoma City. We're going to talk with Paige Mills Haig, the director of fund development there. So stick around for more Faith and Family right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
When Mary Guzman picked up her kids from school, one of them talked about his new assignment. He had to write a paper on where he'd choose to go if he went back in time. When Mary asked him about his choice, he looked right into her eyes and said, "I'd go back and tell you not to abort Jacob and Hope, his brother and sister." Talk about a knife in the heart. Mary's kids knew about the abortions, but she was confronted for the first time with the sad reality that kids were also affected. They too mourn and suffer the loss. Abortion affects more than the baby and mom. It impacts siblings too, as well as grandparents, aunts, uncles, and others. For more information on how abortion impacts siblings, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Be informed.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity, and we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. So many comments on my comment.
Hey, guys, check out my
new
video game.
Mom, what?
Huh?
Pew, pew.
What'd you say?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Have you ever thought about becoming a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
There is growing international condemnation from governments, faith leaders, and organizations of a death sentence imposed on a Christian woman in Sudan. Maryam Ibrahim was born to a Muslim father and an Orthodox Christian from Ethiopia. Her husband is Christian. Washington-based Coptic Solidarity is among faith groups condemning the sentence imposed under Sharia law. Hal Niewot says the notion of apostasy, the renunciation of one's faith, is wrong-headed.
There is no such thing as apostasy in this 21st century.
A memorial will be held Wednesday in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, for American missionary George Knoop, who was stabbed to death. John Monsell is chairman of the board for Kiskaya Chapel.
In terms of us here at the chapel, we're not aware of any, you know, conflicts that he had with other people. He was well-liked.
And Pope Francis offered his Sunday prayers for those affected by severe flooding in the Balkans. I'm Norman Hall.
Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today with me in studio, we have Paige Mills-Haig, and she's the Director of Fund Development for Concordia Life Care Community in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Good morning, Paige.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for being my guest today here in the studio at Worldwide KFUO.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Now, you are spending some time here at the LCMS International Center, visiting with Dorothy Kranz, Director of Recognized Service Organizations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we'll talk about that relationship to the LCMS here in a little bit. But for our listeners who aren't familiar with Concordia Life Care Community, tell us, what is Concordia Life Care Community?
Concordia Life Care Community is a not-for-profit organization, mm-hmm. and we're committed to upholding Christian values while meeting the current and continuing needs of seniors of all beliefs in a safe, secure, caring environment. We're actually a retirement community that offers independent living, mm-hmm. assisted living, skilled nursing, long-term care, and memory care for residents that have dementia and Alzheimer's.
Now, you mentioned, as you were explaining the mission of Concordia Life Care Community, that it's meeting the needs of seniors. What are some of the needs of seniors today? You know, we think of maybe the types of care that you mentioned, independent care and assisted living and things like that. But what are the needs that we don't necessarily think of that seniors have today?
Well, that's a really good question. Seniors, older seniors particularly, are a vulnerable group. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of the concerns are just safety and security, mm-hmm. And having services available to them as they age. One thing that we offer is we're a continuing care retirement community, a CCRC. So mm-hmm. we offer a full life care benefit, which I think is very reassuring to our residents and to their loved ones and family members. Because we do offer health care services and a higher level of services as they age. And all of that is provided under one roof. So our residents and family members are reassured that the care is provided under one roof.
So let's go back to that, the CCRC, Continuing Care Retirement Community, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
What does that mean for, what is a CCRC?
A CCRC, we're actually one of five mm-hmm. in Oklahoma City, and it's a community that offers a life care benefit. In other words, a lot of our residents move into Concordia in independent living when they're mm-hmm. still relatively healthy mm-hmm. and active. And they move in with a life care agreement. Some communities call it a buy-in or a life care agreement. But what that means is our residents and their family members are reassured that they will receive, you know, a higher level of care when it's needed. So that's what a CCRC is.
So moving into independent living,
yes,
and with the mindset that I'm here until, you know, and prepared for there are the resources here when the time comes that I might need extra care.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you know there are options for mm-hmm. residents to move directly into assisted living or skilled nursing or even memory care. But moving in through a life care agreement or life care plan is one of the ways is they can get a 90% refundable plan. What that means is upon time of death mm-hmm. or if they decide to move to another community or move out of Concordia, their plan is 90% refundable. And that is a wonderful benefit, mm-hmm. I think, to living in a CCRC is sure. That it's 90% refundable, your entrance fee is. So that goes to designated family members mm-hmm. or a charity mm-hmm. that is meaningful to them.
So life care is really kind of a forward-thinking, proactive way of making sure that things are covered for your senior days.
Absolutely. And it does give reassurance that you know what it's a fixed mm-hmm. price, basically. So, you know, that is a fear of a lot of older sure. seniors is running out of resources. And that's a very real fear. And so that is just one of, you know, several benefits mm-hmm. to living in a CCRC is that you have fixed pricing and you know that what you'll be paying for your care.
So that gives you a peace of mind, your loved ones a peace of mind, knowing that things aren't going to change radically, that your needs are going to be met, so that your loved ones know that you're being cared for and don't have to worry about how are we going to cover things, how are we going to make things work should a new need come up or should things change.
Absolutely.
So it's a forward way of thinking and being proactive.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen a lot of our residents move through different levels of care in our mm-hmm. community and worked with families through that process. And I can just from, you know, being a part of that process, there's so much reassurance to family members and loved ones mm-hmm. knowing that their mom or dad is not going to have to go outside of the community to receive care, that literally when it comes time, you know, for any residents that are having dementia, that we can move them directly to memory support, mm-hmm. to that higher level of care, and really provide and meet all of their needs. And it's under the same roof. So, you know, we know those residents, mm-hmm. we know what their needs are because they've lived in our community, possibly in other areas, in independent living or assisted sure. living. So,
and they know you.
And they know us, and they trust us, and they know that we always have their best interest at heart.
So when it comes time to make a transition from independent living to assisted living or memory care or things like that, the transition, while there is a transition, it's not as significant as moving from one state to another, or, you know, from one location, like one county to another, even, you know.
Absolutely.
It's not as much of it. What's that transition like for someone who goes from independent living to, say, assisted living or assisted care?
That's I'm glad you asked. It can be a time of stress, of mm-hmm. great stress and anxiety, because any change for most older seniors can be mm-hmm. very traumatic.
Sure.
And so we are there to kind of walk them through the process and reassure them that we're there, that they're still safe, they're receiving good care and mm-hmm. compassionate care. And a lot of families really rely upon us to help mm-hmm. reassure their loved ones that they are still safe and that they're receiving the same care, just a higher level of care in a different part of our community, but they know their caretakers, mm-hmm. and yes, so it's very reassuring.
So there's still some familiarity there.
A little bit,
when they make that transition.
Yes.
And change is challenging for all of us, doesn't
it
matter at what age.
Absolutely.
That's certainly, you know, one of the main stressors for us, you know, one of the main stress inducers is change in life. And learning to adapt to that change is a lifelong process. So when we get to, when we get to our mature days, mm-hmm. and we're independent living, then making that transition to assisted care, memory care, things like that, assisted living, having that support and some sense of familiarity, mm-hmm. not making a large transition from one neighborhood to another, or one state to another, things like that. Having that support and encouragement is good for the resident, but also for the loved ones and for family, knowing that that care is there.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Tell us about what is it that that you do as part of fund development for Concordia Life Care Community?
Well, I was actually hired as a director of fund development mm-hmm. and gift planning in February of 2013. Although our community opened its doors in 2007, we are really just, you know, as of last year, focusing our efforts on raising money for benevolent care. Mm-hmm. Most continuing care retirement communities like ours mm-hmm. that are nonprofit are really committed to providing for the current and ongoing needs right. of our residents. And that's very important to us as an organization. So, primarily, I'm focusing my energies on meeting with residents and family members and our church members mm-hmm. and telling them about our benevolent care program. We call ours the Good Samaritan Fund, and that provides benevolent care for any of our residents who outlive their resources through no fault of their own and need either partial or full assistance to stay in their home at Concordia.
And that could be a frightening thing to think about. Who's going to help? How am I going to pay for my expenses in my later years when I don't have extra income, or maybe don't even have much income to live on at all? How am I going to have my needs met? A safe place to live, the health care that I need, those types of things. How are those needs going to be met? And that's where benevolent care, I think, can
absolutely
really be helpful.
Absolutely. I hear it all of the time, and mm-hmm. I understand that it's a real concern and fear from our residents. And that is one of just a number of benefits from living in a continuing care retirement community and purchasing a life care agreement mm-hmm. is that you have the reassurance that, you know, if you outlive your resources, that you're not going to be, you know, asked to leave the community in later years of your life. So it's a wonderful benefit. And that's really where we focus most of our energies, is raising money for benevolent care. So.
And going back to the stress factor, that's one of those things that can keep that stress factor low.
Absolutely.
During those times of transition, knowing that, that needs will be met.
Absolutely.
So how do you go about that creatively? How do you go about raising funds? How do you go about developing that so that you can support those residents?
Well, we've actually created a pretty comprehensive fundraising and charitable gift program. Mm-hmm. We do that in a number of ways. Again, I visit with residents and family members. We are actually affiliated with 10 Lutheran member churches in Oklahoma City and surrounding areas. So I work closely with our member churches mm-hmm. and the pastors of those churches, and let people know about our community and the needs that we provide, not just for seniors, you know, in Concordia, but outside the walls of Concordia as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of just visiting and sharing, you know, information about what we do and the difference that we make in Oklahoma City and surrounding areas. And we also do a couple of fundraising events every year. We actually just had a garage sale fundraiser April 24th and 25th. we have one of our 10 Lutheran sponsor churches is right next door to Concordia. And Pastor Ron Christie has been a wonderful support and always lets us, he hosts community events for mm-hmm. us that end up benefiting our residents. And the fundraiser, we actually had a matching grant from Thrivent Financial of $1,600, which helped us raise over $4,300 wow. for benevolent care for our residents. So that's one way. We actually did a classic car cruise-in last November, again, at the church next door to our community, Zion Lutheran Church, hosted that. And we had over 50 classic cars and 200 people attend our first event. And that raised $3,100 for benevolent care. And it's mm-hmm. not just a fundraiser, but it's really a good community mm-hmm. Awareness event, a way to build relationships in the community. So we're looking to do a classic car cruise-in again the first Saturday in November this year.
Now, you've mentioned some of your partner congregations. How do these congregations partner with you? How are they involved with Concordia Life Care Community?
That's a great question. We actually have a board of directors, Lutheran Senior Citizens Incorporated, as mm-hmm. our board of directors, and we are owned and operated by them. And the 10 Lutheran churches, there's one representative from each of those 10 churches that serves on our board of directors. So that is where the relationship is. Mm-hmm. And I feel very blessed to be able to and invited to attend mm-hmm. The monthly circuit church meetings with all of the pastors. I participate in that monthly or whenever my schedule allows. And that's truly a blessing to mm-hmm. Be a part of. Of the pastors gathering as they discuss the needs in their congregations, so that's been a real blessing.
Very nice. So, so the congregations have representatives in the board of directors,
yes.
And you mentioned two of the congregations that have helped with some of the fundraisers that are located very closely. Are the congregations involved in other ways as well?
You know, we've been, just as of the last year, really sharing more about our outreach programs mm-hmm. and engaging members of our various congregations. And we're seeing slowly but surely that we're engaging in getting volunteers to come mm-hmm. and help with some of our outreach programs, and certainly with donations. We have some church members that even donate, Thrivent mm-hmm. Members that donate their choice dollars to us. So, we're definitely seen an increase in engagement mm-hmm. and participation from the 10 churches.
You mentioned outreach. What is the outreach of Concordia Life Care Community?
Well, we have a social accountability plan that mm-hmm. is written into our annual plan every year. We're really committed to as a not-for-profit, really, you know, continuing to provide and meet the needs of residents in our community, but making an impact outside of the walls of Concordia as well. And we do that in a number of different ways. We actually have three key outreach programs. One is a durable medical equipment and furniture program. Concordia has partnered with Sunbeam Family Services in Oklahoma City. They are a organization, a nonprofit that's been around for 106 years, and they do many programs, but one of those programs is they operate a 10-bed emergency shelter for homeless senior citizens. And we are a partner organization with them. And through this program, the Durable Medical Equipment Furniture Program, we're able to provide furniture and DME to people that are transitioning from homelessness into more permanent housing. And I love that program. We have served, it's a small program. We just started it last year, and we've already served 12 senior citizens and provided a bed and a couch and all the furniture that they need as they're transitioning from homelessness into permanent housing. So that is really a ministry that we do. And it's a blessing to those who benefit from that, but it's even a more, you know, more so a blessing to us to be able to provide for that need.
Certainly. Yeah. And to connect with the community, to serve the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a ministry to us, and we hope to continue to grow that. We are able to provide for their needs through the generosity of residents and families and members, you know, church members who donate their furniture to us. We have a storage unit, and I get calls from the shelter every week, you know, asking what we have in inventory that we might be able to provide to those in their care.
Did you ever think you would be managing a furniture warehouse?
I did not, no. But you know what? I love it. It's one of the favorite aspects of my job. Doing this outreach program, and probably because I get to speak to the clients directly and hear from them firsthand what it means to them to have our support.
So certainly,
it truly is a blessing. And we actually have several other outreach programs that we do. One is actually funded by LCMS. We're really blessed to have funding for our Wellness on Wheels program. And what that is mobile wellness clinics. Myself and several of our nursing staff and our health services marketing coordinator will offer these clinics to area churches and nonprofits, anywhere where there's a need for vital health service checks. And we've done, six clinics this year already, and we have two coming up next week. And our nurses provide free vital health checks to include blood pressure checks, blood sugar checks, general health education. They'll do medication consultation. And it's really just a free service to the community. And, you know, we're finding as we do these clinics, it's not just seniors that need vital health checks. It's, you know, we all know, you know, what can happen if you have high blood pressure that can lead to stroke or heart attack or even death. So we're seeing, you know, people in their 40s and 50s and 60s coming to us and having their vitals checked. And we're seeing time and time again how many people don't realize that they have high blood pressure from our stressful, busy lives that we all lead these days. And so it's been wonderful to be able to offer those and make a difference in the community in that way as well. And we appreciate LCMS for funding that. Thinks it's a $5,000 grant that we received.
Wow.
And then another grant from a local foundation in Oklahoma City. So we're fully funded with that program.
I said that was called Wellness on Wheels?
It's called Wellness on Wheels. It's our wellness program.
So you just roll in and set up camp, and
we do.
you and the nurses hang out for the day and just do screenings basically throughout the day. They do screenings throughout the day.
Yes, and so you know sometimes it's for a couple of hours. We're actually going to be at Messiah Lutheran Church in Oklahoma City, one of our 10 Lutheran member churches, next Friday. And sometimes it's for a few hour period where we'll be set up. And a lot of churches like to open that up, not just to their members, but the greater community. And sometimes we'll do a presentation or provide lunch and really truly have it be a ministry to minister to not just, you know, to health needs, but to spiritual and emotional needs as well.
How would this be different than a senior going to being encouraged to go to their physician to get a regular physical or checkup? This would be kind of something that gives them those looking for those red flags.
Correct. It's it's not in place of going to their primary care physician at all, but it's a supplement to that. And you know, that's not every person loves to you know, visit. Oh, well, I can't wait to get to my doctor.
Exactly.
So I love my doctor, but you know, a lot of times it's easier for someone and maybe a little bit less threatening even to go to a health clinic where you're enjoying a nice meal and maybe a general presentation about health services
and going with friends from your church or your community.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we definitely you know, we'll refer them to their primary care physician whenever we see a red flag or something that they might need to address with their doctor. Absolutely.
Certainly. Well, that sounds like a really nice way to connect with the community as well. When they see this Wellness on Wheels roll in, huh?
Well, it's a lot of fun. You know, our nurses really enjoy it. It's a little bit of a change of a pace for them.
Sure.
And I love it, you know, just engaging people and letting them know about our community and the different programs that we do. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot of fun.
So Paige, tell us, how can our listeners find out more about Concordia Life Care Community?
Well, if they would like to support our charitable giving program, they can call 405-720-7200, or they can visit our website at concordiaseniorliving.com. And I am happy to visit with anyone about our charitable giving program. We have a general fund for unrestricted donations that helps meet immediate operating needs. We've already talked a little bit about the Good Samaritan Fund for benevolent care. We also just started a employee scholarship fund, encouraging our employees who want to pursue education or get professional certifications. We will provide scholarships for them. And we actually just met last week and are granting 4 scholarships to our nursing staff, 4 individuals who are pursuing their RN degree. So we're pleased to offer that as an employee benefit. And that's certainly a fund that your listeners might want to support. And then we have a community expansion fund for expanding our chapel, our dining hall, and other things that really enhance the community.
Very good. And again, to find out how they can support Concordia Life Care Community in those ways, they can go to, how can they get connected?
They can visit our website at concordiaseniorliving.com, or they can call our main number at 405-720-7200 and ask to speak to me, to Paige Mills Haig, and I will share a little bit more about our charitable giving programs and, of course, ways that they can support our efforts.
What else would you like for us to know about Concordia Life Care Community today?
Well, I really just want to, you know, thank LCMS. You've been a really wonderful support to us, and it's really been a blessing to our community, and not just with the you know, funding our wellness program and some of our outreach efforts, but you have a wonderful disaster relief program. And unfortunately, we lost an employee and her 3 children last year during the terrible tornadoes. And LCMS provided disaster relief for not only her family, but for 2 other employees that were affected by that, $7,600 in disaster relief. So that was a real blessing to us. And you know, Dorothy Kranz, you mentioned her earlier, and I've been visiting with her today. And she has provided prayer shawls for us. And those have actually gone to the homeless seniors that we've served through Sunbeam's, you know, with our partnership with Sunbeam. So, you know, that's been a blessing as well. And we also have a mobile meals program, and we've given those prayer shawls to homebound seniors through our mobile meals program as well. So
wonderful.
It's been wonderful.
Well, I certainly have learned a lot. I hope our listeners too have learned a lot about the great work that our friends at Concordia Life Care Community are doing there in Oklahoma City. And what a blessing you are to your community. And to hear about this great partnership with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Paige, it's been great talking with you. We've been talking with Paige Mills Haig. She's the Director of Fund Development for Concordia Life Care Community in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Paige, thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you so much, Andy. It's been my pleasure.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.
Sixteenth century reformer Martin Luther believed that the devil was alive and well in the world. What have Lutheran theologians said about demon possession and spiritual warfare? Live Monday on Issues Etc. will answer those questions with Dr. Robert Bennett, author of the book I Am Not Afraid.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
The messenger of good news. KFUO Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD. Worldwide at KFUO.org.